The following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the True Wealth Radio Show. I'm your host for now, Matt Dixon, and with me in studio, Justin. Thank you for joining last minute.
Oh, of course.
Yes. If you
no
didn't
chaos
know,
involved.
No, this was a chaotic day, but we are here, and we're actually more prepared than we sometimes are.
Yeah,
somehow.
Look at us go.
I know. So, Justin, I had this idea today about talking about when is enough enough.
Okay.
So we often, especially in our field, right, we talk to people about their finances, mm-hmm. and we're always having that conversation of saving more. How much do you need to save? And, you know, I don't feel like we talk enough about when is it okay to start spending or when is it okay to start scaling back. And so what I did, I was like, well, let's find a list of questions that a lot of people can relate to and then have a pretty candid conversation about, like, well, Justin, you know, how would you feel if you were in this position? And then kind of go from there.
Okay.
So on that idea, let's just jump right into it of how much is enough. So I have a question. And then let's do this. Why don't you give me your answer and I'll kind of give you my answer.
Okay.
And then at the end of this segment, let's wrap it up and see if we like each other's answers, if we change our answers.
Okay.
Or if we're just sticking to it. How about that? Okay. So Justin, I have a question for you. I want to start out with.
Okay.
So how much money would you personally need before you stopped caring about growing your net worth? So you hit this magic number. Let's throw a number out there and say at that point, I'm pretty content. I don't need to grow it a whole lot more. I know what that number is for me, but I'm curious what yours is. Or do you want me to start?
Go ahead and start.
Okay.
Since
so
you prepped
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I prepped it and I came to this number in my head of $4 million.
Okay.
Because at $4 million, right, if my money's growing at a conservative rate of 5%, that's about $200,000 a year. And with the way things are going in this world, I would feel fine living on $200,000 a year. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not worried about growing that $4 million. I'm like, hey, I'm just feeding off interest. That feels great. Like, $200,000 is a lot of money every year. $4 million, I'm not worried about really growing it. I'm just kind of trying to conserve it.
Okay.
Is that, what do you think of that? Is
well,
that fair?
The first number that popped into my head was 5, and then I was trending down to 4, and then I was trying to do math. And I'm just like, well, maybe. And then I'm like, I have so many more questions
right,
for this.
It was a pretty broad, open-ended one. But you start thinking about it, and it's like, well, if you got one person in the family, say it's a two-family income, you got two people each making $100,000 a year, that seems like a pretty good living, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's not like you're not going to be super extravagant on that, but yeah, you can definitely live a pretty healthy lifestyle with that type of money, I would think, right? So that's the number I kind of settled on.
Yeah, that's I like to me in my mind that equates to about 10 grand a month.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you said you originally came in at 5. I think that's even a safer number, right? Because then you have some wiggle room if there's a big expense. At $4 million, if you're, you know, spending up all that income, there's not necessary. I mean, yeah, you can draw on the principal, but $5 million does sound a lot safer. So, okay, I like your answer. All right, but so let's just say that you're in a really good spot. What is the first thing that you would start kind of spending significantly more money on if you knew that your retirement was like secure? So you're looking at retirement, right? We're fast forwarding into the future.
Okay.
And what's something that you could see yourself spending a lot more money on, but feeling okay about it because you know you're doing good?
I feel like this is going to come back.
is this going to come back to haunt you?
No, it would be buying probably more of the toys and things like that I just would not typically
buy. What's a
buy.
Toy that you
like
haven't
allowed?
Like a
classic car or something like
that.
Or, I'm not necessarily big into the Dunes, but if I had enough, like Yeah. Give it a shot.
You're
it
like, I could do a four-door side-by-side. You know what's crazy is I guess I was stuck in like 2010 pricing because we were over at the dunes and I was watching people ride on the dunes. And I'm like, that looks like a pretty inexpensive hobby, you know? Because I was remembering like $12,000, $14,000 side-by-sides. No, apparently, like, I started looking into it. I'm like, wow, you can spend $60,000, $70,000 pretty easily on a side-by-side. I'm like, whoa, I did not realize that they are that expensive.
I mean, I'd probably travel a lot more. Lot more would be a big one.
You stole my answer there.
Spoil the kids.
Mm-hmm. I don't spend a lot on travel, but I would definitely ratchet that part up. I love Hawaii. I love mild weather. I love fishing in the ocean. And I got to go out on a boat one year in Hawaii, and we were like trolling just off the coastline. Like, you're not very far out there, and you're catching these huge fish.
Okay.
The weather's nice. You're eating fresh mango. I'm going to travel more. I'm going to spend more time in Hawaii. So that's my answer to that question. So next one for you. At what point does leaving money to your kids become less important than spending it to yourself? Ooh.
I mean, does it depend on how much you like your kids at any certain time?
Yeah. You're like, if you ask me that on a weekend versus a Friday, my...
I mean, I've always kind of had the theory is you don't want to have enough sitting around where it's convenient for you to not be here no more.
Right. You're like, I don't want my kids to be like, you know what? Dad's in the hospital. Pull the plug. I need that cash.
Or delaying the trip to the hospital, something. But
you know, this is an interesting one for me because I look at that and I'm like, you know, when it comes to kids and getting money, right, I think that kids don't value the money as much as you think that they do.
I know that for a fact.
Kids value you, right? Yes. They value the time that they get to spend with you. They value just getting to be around you, the knowledge that they get to glean off of you. And so I've seen it so many times where people are like, really? That's a big thing for them. Like, I got to leave my kid $3 million.
A legacy. Legacy is very important to lots of people.
It is. And I do think that, you know, it's an important thing, right? Like, you know, leave your kids with a bit of an upper hand. Sure.
And it's even the combination of I notice it more as, and it's kind of even mixed of some people that did inherit money and how it changed their lives.
Right.
Sometimes they were more inclined to be like, I want more and more for the kids.
Right.
And then some, it's also as that they didn't inherit anything.
Well, depending on the kid's nature, right, it can be a good thing or it can be actually a bad thing, too.
Very much so.
Yeah.
I mean, you would have handed me a bunch of money at 18. That would have been not – no good decisions.
None. Zero.
Very small percentage.
That's funny. And so, yeah, like, so for you to get some crazy inheritance at 18 or 20 years old wouldn't have necessarily been a great thing for you. I feel like when there isn't a big inheritance right out of the gate, right – you're having to learn work ethic in a different way too, right? Like if there is no fund for you to tap into, it's like, well, you learn how to make it, right?
Yeah.
And so to me, it's less important than making sure that they just grew up in a loving household and that they felt loved. I think that's a really big one. But, okay.
I like that one. I mean, it's a really interesting line of where how much is enough? I don't know.
Yeah, that one
depends
on their
lifestyle, your lifestyle.
Yeah, I don't think you can put a number on that one, so I'm not even going to try. But okay, Justin, that's enough for now. I have way more important questions to ask you.
Okay.
And it's going to get gradually harder and more interesting as we go. So we've laid this framework, right, of how much is enough, but when we get back from this break, we're going to talk about putting a number on it. So we're going to actually make you to commit to hard numbers, Justin. So listeners, stick around. When you get back, Justin and I are going to dive even deeper into this. You guys are listening to 93.9 AM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show, where today I'm your host, Matt Dixon, and with me in studio,
Justin Bergman.
Justin, you're a legend. Okay. Help me through this. We're going to start putting hard numbers on things. And if you disagree with us and you're like, Matt, no, that's dumb. Or Justin, you're out to left field, man.
Probably.
Go ahead and text the work line and tell us we're nuts. I'm okay with that. 541-375-0898. We want to hear your thoughts on these matters. So, Justin, I want you to commit to a number. How much money is too much to just have sitting in the bank? So you got cash sitting in the bank getting 0.05%. How much is too much to have sitting there? This is a fun one for me, by the way, because I just had this conversation with a person like last week. We were chatting about this. And then when I gave them my answer, they were like, that's ingenious. And we actually had about the same number in mind.
150.
Oh,
150,000.
I'm way lower than that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I figured you would be.
You're going to have to back yourself up here in a minute. So my number is $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 25. You want to know why? So you're sitting at your house. Something goes terribly wrong. What's the most expensive thing overnight that you could engineer that you would have to fix?
What?
Yeah, like you're at your house and something tragic happens and you've got to pay for something like
in a week. Can be.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, your version
my
of tragic.
My central air goes out, like we got a problem.
Right, your central air, that's a good one. How much does that cost to fix?
I don't know anymore.
Right? Well, yeah.
We'll go 30?
Maybe. It might be that much. Try. I don't know. I was thinking roof. That was with a conversation I had with this prospect or client or whatever the other day. We were talking about, I'm like, yeah, if my roof goes out, that's like 20 grand, 25
Easily.
Grand, mm-hmm. right? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm stuck in 2023 pricing, but I know things have gotten really expensive, but I want enough money to replace my roof, just sitting in my checking or my savings account, ready to deploy at any certain given time. And then with the rest of it, yeah, I want to have more than that, obviously. Who doesn't? But the rest of it, I'd go invest it in something. But having like $20,000 where you can just grab it and go, that seems like a decent number. In this day and age, it might be more.
What if your mortgage is $4,000? Does that change your number?
Maybe.
Like, there's so many variables that can go into this.
There are so many variables.
I was going back on the, you know, $10,000 a month that we were talking about in the first segment. And I'm like, all right, you know, you have roughly a year's worth in case.
Dude, you know what blows my mind is I actually do see people all the time that have like $200,000 sitting in the bank and they're thinking nothing of it. And then it's like, well, you know, you could have just got like a U.S. Treasury or something, you know, pretty benign. And it's like, well, you know. I mean, what is that on?
I mean, there's a
a
lot of different avenues.
Like, you're giving up $500-$600 a month or whatever in just interest. It's crazy to me. But okay, that's neither here nor there, and that's not a recommendation. That's just saying like, hey, like, what's your money doing? Is it just sitting there? And the crazy thing is with inflation being what it is, and the dollar kind of changing in value the way that it is,
definitely
it's like,
a change in purchasing power.
If it's just sitting there, like. Think about what you could have bought with $200,000 7 years ago.
Yeah.
You could have bought a house. Around here, you could have bought a house. Now, you want to go buy that same house, and it might be $350,000 to $400,000. So it's like the dollar is losing purchasing power. Ah! Okay. Enough rant on that.
I'm going with the next one, Matt, because I am so curious about this.
Okay, what's the next one?
At what monthly car payment do you think somebody is officially lost their mind?
This is just, do you want my opinion first or do you want
to? I do, because again, I think it's loaded. What's the time frame?
I could never spend four figures on a car payment.
Okay.
Like, that's just the hard cut for me. Like, I've done 700 something a month and it felt horrible. And I wanted to, like, pull my hair out and, like, just, it was the worst feeling ever at $700 a month.
Okay.
If I was at 1,000, I think I would like have to be put into like a medically induced coma or something. Like, sedate me, please.
So say you know, 700. So call it 700 for 5 years just for fun.
Okay.
Or 1,000 for
do
three.
It. Couldn't do it.
At zero interest for three.
Well, yeah, zero interest, I'm feeling a lot better than at three, sure. Like, that might change things, sure.
And what number does that change? 0.9 versus 4.5? Does that change it?
Yeah, the interest rate?
Yeah.
All that matters to me. I always want the lowest interest rate.
So
I
you
want
gotta
the
put
lowest...
a base in and says how much for...
I'm trying to think if I've ever gone over a four-year loan on a car, a 48-month. The 60-month ones are wild, but you know what? I'd take the 60-month if it meant my interest rate was like 2 or 3 or something a lot lower. It's like, well, then I'll just make extra payments.
That's the problem is that's always the thought. Yes, you know, I'll just make extra payment. It'll get paid off quicker.
It can then be a trap.
You turn around and rationalize like, you know what?
I
can
need
do this.
That. Yeah, yeah. If you're the type of, if you're the type of person that can't actually make the extra payment, don't put yourself in a corner, right? So that's an interesting one. Justin, what's your number? Do you have a number? Is it 1,000?
I mean, 1,000's a real... I mean, I...
Could you ever do 1,000?
No, I don't.
I don't think
I could.
I don't think I could
mentally.
Yeah.
You know, the... I don't even know if I could do 7. But I'm sure I could rationalize it one way or another in some aspect of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. I should have been more prepared for the next question on this list.
Because doing some math.
There's actually math involved in this one. But Justin, how expensive of a house should someone making about $150,000 a year actually buy?
Yeah, we should have done. You should have done more pre-math for that.
Yeah, we were rushing to get to the studio.
And I guess we're assuming you're 30-year mortgaging it.
Sure. I mean, you can assume that. I don't believe in the 30-year mortgage.
I know.
I'm this weirdo, right? I'll just throw the flag on myself. I hate 30-year mortgages. I think they're a trap. I like 15 or 20 years at max, but that's just me. So, and that's coming from someone who did do a 30-year mortgage because it was literally the only way for me to get the house. So it's like, well, if it's the only way you can get into a place, it's not a bad spot to start. But if you ever get like a rate drop and a refinance makes sense, that can be pretty cool. I got lucky though, right? This wasn't skill. This was luck. I bought a house on 4.5% interest and then rates dropped to 2 point something.
Right.
And then it's like, well,
it's
duh.
Easy to say that when you make that transition.
That's what I'm saying.
Go in clean right now and then tell me how much you can afford.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it was anything. It wasn't even my idea. A friend of mine, I was talking with him on the phone. He's like, Matt, you'll never believe this, but I just refinanced to a 15-year, and my payment didn't even change or whatever. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, have you seen the rates? And this was back before I did this job. You know, I was like, no, what do you mean? And so I kind of got lucky, right? So, but I'm just dropping that seed where it's like, hey, if you can do a 15-year, look at the amortization tables. That's all I'll say on that one. But how much house can you actually afford? What do you remember what the percentage is? You're not supposed 30. To spend over a certain percentage of your income.
Well, they stretch it now more than I think.
Didn't
they
bump
used
it up to
yeah.
like, was it, is it over 30 now?
Yes.
Hmm.
And that would be saying, which, and you would disagree with, you know, that's just assuming a mortgage is what, $3,500?
Yeah. And it also depends
on 30% of 150,000.
Yeah.
Like there's no crazy. That's crazy.
I don't know what it comes out to off the top of my head, but I can just say if my income's 150, I don't think I would want my mortgage payment to be above like what, $2,600, $2,700 a month.
So yeah, let's trace this back.
Is that about right? I don't have my calculator running in the background for me, but like I can just say with some swag math and putting the feelers out there, like $2,600, $2,700 a month, that is radically eating into, and that might even be a little high.
You're not going to afford much house.
No, you're not. No, you're really not.
Especially coming in new, and I mean at that, I would say, you know, $350 max, just a guess.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And that would be in my mind, assuming no real other outstanding debts.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the number I gave you, that 2,600-ish a month, that's about a little over 20% of your income right there. And if you're stretching it all the way to 30, there's this like kind of being house poor thing, right? Where it's like,
they use the gross number too, and not the net.
Yeah.
And so it's mm-hmm. you know, then you have taxes, and then you have property taxes, that's insurance.
Over 20% on your gross.
Flood insurance. You know, you start tacking all that stuff on top of it, it can make a mortgage really expensive.
Right. And say your property taxes surge. Right. Yep. That's the thing a lot of people don't think about. It's like, well, what if your property taxes went up 20%?
Yeah.
I mean, they can.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's crazy. Okay. So this is another interesting one. But so what net worth, Justin, would you start to feel comfortable flying first class or staying at super nice, extravagant hotels or upgrading your lifestyle? Or is it not really a net worth thing? Is it more of an income thing? How do you even go about answering that one?
I think that, again, there's so many variables. So,
because, like, think about Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett was never comfortable with really upgrading his lifestyle. He stayed in his, like, kind of starter home, right? Even when he was a multi-billionaire. So he was never comfortable with it. And this one, I think, is more personal. But for me, like, flying first class, I don't know that I'll ever do it, even though I'm 6'6", and like right. I don't fit in economy. I don't know that I could ever pay first class unless it was like a 14-hour flight. Because like when I fly to Hawaii, I fly economy, and it's horrible. It's the worst 6 hours of my life. But if it's the difference between me spending an extra, you know, $2,000, I can be miserable for 6 hours for $2,000. Like, I'm still going to get there. I'll walk it off in 30 minutes. Yeah. Now, if I'm 85 years old and I've got arthritis, probably a different conversation. But I'm young and I can handle it. What about you?
I could tell you I can't tell you what that number would be, but I could fit it into
there'll be
a budget.
Signs. There'll be signs.
There would be signs.
Your driveway is 2 miles long.
Yes.
Your house is high up gated. On the hill. Gated. There's glass windows everywhere. There'll be signs.
And I mean, I don't know. What's really nice to me might not be really nice. I don't know where that range is. Like the top dollar hotel? No, I probably wouldn't.
I think
mainly because I usually don't like top dollar food.
If I had to, you know, we said we were going to force to commit and put a number on things. So we can't back down now, Justin. So how about I rephrase it to this?
What net worth?
Yeah. If I have an excess of
10 million.
If I have an excess of $3,000 to $4,000 a month coming in above what my spending is, I can probably
assuming that you're investing and doing all.
Yeah, I'm doing
checking
I'm checking all the boxes, and I've got an extra $3,000 to $4,000 a month coming in that I kind of can play with. I might start to play a little bit more.
I think it would be dependent on the.
But it would depend on my house. It would depend on my house, right? Like I've got to be in a nice house. A lot of boxes have to be checked before I'm flying first class.
It's a big net worth number.
It's a big number. Millions, right? Millions.
I'm not saying once, but consistently.
Okay. So did you actually put a number on that? You said
10.
10 million. I think I actually might be in about the same number as you on that one. Because, like, yeah, let's stick with that. Okay, Justin. When we get back from this next break, I want you to choose your financial life. I'm going to ask you, would you rather make X amount per year and work this many hours a week? I'm going to ask you really, really hard questions. And by the end of this, people, you're going to either agree with us or disagree with us, but we need to take a profit break. So it's 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. We are having a great time. If you happen to miss the first half, well, you didn't miss anything. No, I'm just joking. You can catch the rerun of this on our website. Go to littlejohnfs.com. I think it's under the Educate tab, if I'm not mistaken, Justin. But yeah, or well. Go on YouTube, right? We live stream this thing, and so you can go back and rewatch. Justin, so we've been talking about when is enough enough. You're accumulating assets. You don't know when to spend it. You're trying to put numbers on things. And if you didn't notice, what did we struggle to do? Put a number on things, right? Yeah. Like we said we were going to commit to it. We can't
do it.
But you know what's often really interesting? People will tell me all the time, I'll retire when I have $3 million or I'll retire when I get to $1 million or I'll retire when I get to $500,000. They pick arbitrary random numbers and they say, well, that's the magic number. And it's not really rooted necessarily to any sort of financial planning. It's just a number.
Well, I mean, I think I could pencil out a number like...
If you reverse engineered it.
Well, not even reverse, and if I could play the future game as well. Like, my home I'm not in is not my forever home. So that may drastically change the math.
I hope it isn't. Yeah.
You know, in different states. I mean, just had children. Mm-hmm. Or a child. Like,
that changes
it changes
things.
The math instantly.
You know what? I actually didn't realize, this is probably going to be like, Matt, you're ignorant, but I didn't realize how much having kids changes your financial picture.
Yeah.
It is so much wilder than I thought. And it's not the $100 bed frame you bought and the $150 mattress
you
bought.
It's just life.
It is so many other
it's
things.
It's just drastically just life.
So, but I'm deviating. I'm deviating here. Justin, I have a hard question for you.
I think it's hard, but I'm just going to carve it up because
Would you rather make $250,000 a year and work 60 hours a week or make $125,000 a year and work 30 hours a week?
Okay. And what time frame do I have to make this decision and for how long?
I can't answer that, number one, because these are ambiguous, but... Right now, I'm inserting you at, well, how old are you? You're 38?
Almost 39.
39, yeah, you're sneaking up on 39. So the 39-year-old Justin, insert yourself into this. Which one do you pick?
Probably the 250 and 60 hours.
You think you could handle 60?
Yeah,
sure. You are like a just, you're a hard worker. You can put the
hours
in.
Well, there's rationalizations, which I mean, I'm giving up different things because, you know, in the short time of things, I would, you know, the 120 and 30 hours is, you know, spend part time with the kids and things like that. Where I jump to the 250 and 60 means my wife's no longer working.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else kind of, I get to take the...
You'd be missing a lot of games.
I'd be missing a lot, but for everybody else to be...
For their benefit.
Correct.
Okay. So you'd fall on the sword a little bit. A
little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm like, if I could do it for a season, like, next 10.
For like the next 10
years. Side hustle it to cover a little bit of the gap.
Uh-huh.
But...
Yeah. I'm going the opposite way.
I think it's very dependent on stage.
Yeah.
And I mean, at 50, that's a different conversation for me.
Yeah. Had you asked me this even 2 years ago, I would have been in the same boat. I would have said, I'll take the 250 and the 60. I would have done it. But now that I've got these two little kids running around and Micah wants to play all the time and he's like, Dad, will you build a fort with me? And it's like,
it'll drastically change it.
Right? And it's like, and then Cheyenne's, you know, hey, I need you to hold a baby and help out. I would rather take the less amount of money because, like, I'm in this moment in time where it's like, all this stuff is really cool, and I want to experience as much of it as I possibly can.
So would it change it if you could pick your hours?
Nope.
Oh, good.
No, but I mean, let's see. I mean, I could get up at 5. What is that? 5, 6?
Call it 5 to 5. That's 12.
5 to 5? Could I do 5 to 5?
5 to 5, 5 days a week.
I don't think I could do it. I think I'd burn out.
I'd burn out. I mean,
yeah.
That's why I'm like, if you had flexibility and scheduling, like if you could piece it.
I don't think I could do it.
Depends on the profession.
Yeah, I think I'd start to go cuckoo.
And it depends on the job.
It depends on the job.
I mean, it's very easy to say I work 60 hours. I sit behind a desk.
Right.
You know, most of the time.
Right. Actually,
I'm
I
not
think that
there
would be,
roofing. You know, that's not, no.
I think
it would
be easier for me if it was a physical job.
Maybe.
Yeah, because like sitting for 12 hours a day, I think I'd die.
Well, yeah, in an office.
Yeah, I think I'd die. But okay, so interesting. I can see why you picked what you picked, though, and I think why I picked what I picked makes sense too.
Because it's just stage of life.
Yeah, what and, stage yeah. of life are you in now? If both my kids are out of the house, no, I'm still not doing it. Yeah, I tried talking myself into it. I'm just
You're
not
like,
wired.
Come on,
for
Matt.
It.
It has nothing to do with that.
No,
you don't want to work that
no,
many hours.
I'm not wired for it. I'm not. I like fishing too much.
There you go.
Yep, and I like woodworking.
And that makes sense.
Yeah. Yep.
I wouldn't even argue it.
No, I can't. But what about this? I'm going to phrase it up a different way. What if I said, Justin, you can retire at 55 with $1.5 million or work until 65 and retire with $3 million? Which one are you taking there? Just jump to the end of your working career. I put a gun to your head. I said, Justin, pick one. You're like, gosh, Matt, you didn't have. I would have answered it without the gun.
65 and three. No, sorry, 55 and one and a half.
So you're going age 55, $1.5
million? Yeah.
Okay, I'm doing the same thing. I'm getting out of there while I still have hopefully some health. I've still got some get up and go in me. And I really want to experience things.
I think it can really, I seriously think it still changes it it changes on the job.
Hear me out. It doesn't even matter about the job.
It does to me.
No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I could love the job. I'm still pulling the plug. You want to know why? Because I find so much enjoyment in very, very simple, cheap things. Like if I'm out hunting and driving around in the mountains, best day of my life. I'm
You're
out
also
fishing.
Assuming.
Best day of my life.
So you don't have a mortgage at that point.
Nope.
Well, yeah, that changes all the math.
I built a wooden box. Best day of my life. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. If I'm just doing things I like, it's the best. I could be picking blackberries and making jam. It's the best day of my life. Okay? Like, I'm pulling the plug. I could be 55 with a million. You can take another 500,000 off of it. I'm pulling the plug.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm
out. Well, I still think it just assumes that, like, if you have nothing, you know, home paid off, everything else, I think that drastically changes the math.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know.
Well, yeah.
What if I buy my forever home at 52?
I just would never do it.
Well.
I just couldn't. I'm out.
Why? You're going to spend the next 30, 40 years in it?
I just want to go
saying you're not, I wouldn't mortgage it at that age.
I want to be in Idaho hunting with my kids, killing bears or something. Like, I don't care.
You're not flying first class.
No. We already established that. I'm not flying first class, okay? I'm okay being a little uncomfortable. I want to go have fun. And you know where you have fun? Out on the river catching salmon, Justin. Speaking of which, the fall Chinook, they're getting close. They're getting close to being here.
Is it?
Yeah. They're already in.
Is it fishing season?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just starting off, and I'm already losing sleep at night thinking about fish. You know, I'll wake up at 3 in the morning. Where are the fish at? You know?
From the person that doesn't eat fish.
And I don't even eat the fish, no. It's a sickness. Okay. I got another one for you, Justin. This is another tricky one. And I'm really curious if you guys hate our answers or you're like, you know what, I totally agree, whatever. Communicate with us. Don't be a stranger. Go ahead and text us at 541-375-0898 or shoot us an email at info@littlejohnfs.com and tell us if we're crazy or if we're cool. All right, Justin, so I'm going to give you another one here. Would you rather own a paid off $750,000 house with almost nothing invested or rent and have $750,000 invested?
So, what is the $750,000 invested in?
It's invested in the S&P 500.
No, like what? Tax wrappers around it.
It's in a brokerage account. It can be invested in whatever you want. So this is money you can pull out and do whatever you want with.
Okay.
Or you can, and you're renting, or you don't really have much liquid cash, but you have a $750,000 house paid off.
Again. I could just buy less than a $750,000 house.
I know, that was the sneaky angle I was going with, too. I'm like, well, I could probably go find a house for $550 I really like and then pocket the other $200.
Or if the tax ramifications are better, yeah. the house, then sell the house.
You know, I'll say this. I hate saying it because it's kind of like, I don't like saying it, but I'm going to. So I kind of like renting. I love owning, don't get me wrong, but I hate it at the same time. You know why I like renting? Because guess
responsibility.
I'm handy. I can fix a lot of stuff. Right. I don't like you know what I hate more than anything? Trimming hedges.
Right.
I hate it. I loathe it. If I was in a condo complex or something renting and everything was taken care of, I could think of worse things.
Yeah.
And then my $750, if I find the house I want, I can buy it. But I'll tell you, man, when you're always having to fix the plumbing leak or you're having to fix gutters, it really bothers me.
It does.
I'm too much of a perfectionist to be a homeowner. And so I'm always in a state of irritation. Maybe I'm meant to be a renter. New epiphany on air.
You got to find somebody that wants to be your landlord, though.
Dude, I need to find someone that wants to work around my place for $20 an hour. It's like... Just go
should
mow.
Should be plenty of those.
Right?
Coming.
Oh, my goodness.
It's got to be kids graduating.
But you know
soon.
What? I'm one of those paranoid people that just doesn't trust people to do a good job, right? I'm like, are you going to do a good job mowing? Well, of course you are. It's just mowing. Like, I need to just get over it and let other people start doing some of these things.
Or just go mow your lawn.
So are we both in agreement? We're going to rent and take the $750 in cash? What if it's your dream home? Does it change anything there?
Well, if I have nothing else. I mean, that's the real question is when is this happening?
Right now.
Like start over from scratch. I can either have $750 or the.
Yeah, right now. You can either.
I guess it would depend on the house.
I mean, I saw this house not that long ago and it was, you know, it was a little less than $750, but I looked at it. I'm like, man, that is the dream home. And, you know, I'm putting myself back, you know, 3 months ago when I saw that place. I'm like, well, what would you actually rather take? And some right. part of me is really actually saying, like, take the house you always wanted because there's something to, like, have home, right?
And I'm so such that a place, home. I'm a homebody. I
am
love
too.
Being
I
home.
I like – I'm not going to pick rent, Justin. I'm flipping my answer.
Okay.
I'm taking the place that feels like home. $750 definitely buys me my dream home. I'm taking the house and no debt.
I mean, but Matt, what about if the $750 you could buy almost your dream home and a condo – where you loved fishing and hunting.
All right, I'm flipping back to what I said originally. I'm going with rent because I'm going to buy the $550,000 house
there
and the
go.
Condo in
I'll
Hawaii.
Get you there. One way
Thank
or
you.
Another.
Thanks for pulling me out of a spiral there, Justin. Okay, this was another interesting one, and we got to hurry through it because we're going to take a break here in a second. But, Justin, would you rather give up would you rather give your kids $100,000 when they're 25 or let them inherit $500,000 when they're 60?
I have a night.
Guess what? You can't answer it. We're going to break. I set you up. All right, let's take this last break. And when we get back, Justin's going to answer the hard question about his kids. And then we're going to wrap this thing up. But you guys are listening to the True Wealth Radio Show on 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Alrighty, gang. Welcome back to the last stretch of the True Wealth Radio Show where we are building this life out, answering hard questions. Justin, when we left the break, I said, let's talk about your kids.
Mm-hmm.
They can either get $100,000 at 25 or $500,000 at 60. What are you picking for your kids?
$100,000 at 25.
Okay, give me your reason.
Because
by the way,
if they're smart with it, they will either get into their home or they'll invest it and they'll turn it more into more than $500,000 by the time they're 60.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, I would love to have stipulations on it all, but
yeah. I picked the same, and my logic was simple enough. It was, hey, if they were smart with $100,000 at 25, they could do exactly what you just said. They could get into a house. That changes their trajectory. Mm-hmm. They could just park it.
They could just stay at an early debt.
Yep, they could stay out of debt that holds them down.
Yep.
Or imagine if that $100,000 was invested for that other, 35 years?
Yeah, for 35 years.
For 35 years, that thing should turn into what? Like quite a bit more than $500,000 in theory. So it's like, you know, I'm going to give them the upper hand early and out of the gate. And one of the things that I don't think is talked enough in the financial planning aspect of our industry is people always want to wait until they're dead for the beneficiaries to get things. But if you're in a situation where you can start giving now while you're still alive, that can be a pretty powerful tool for a couple different reasons, right? If you're in Oregon and you got the estate tax issue where you've got over $2 million worth of stuff.
Drive the values down a little bit.
Right, it could drive the value down. But you know what? I think it would be really cool to be alive and to witness the money in action changing their life, right? Like, oh, you know, you got a grandkid and now it's like, well, you just got them through college or... you know, you did this and you got them into your first house. We see that type of stuff, right? Like we have clients, we watch them help family members out while they're still alive. And it is pretty impactful over the course of a lot of years. It's pretty cool stuff to watch.
Do you think that there's a little bit of a conflict of interest there because you're closer to 25 than you are to 60?
I don't know. I mean, I just look at it and it's like when you're
just out of curiosity.
Well, think about it. If you're 60 years old, you're right on the verge of retiring, right? $500,000, could it change your life? Absolutely, it could. But there's a good chance if you saved a bunch in retirement, $500,000 might not do what you think that it's going to do at age 60.
Could it change you from retiring at 60 instead of 65?
It could do that. And it could also buy you your condo in Hawaii. So, like, don't get me wrong. That's life-changing money. But $100,000 at 25 handled right multiplies in ways that $500,000 at 60 I don't think does.
And statistically speaking, it's... the time of when the money gets there. I mean, people are usually playing catch up, not the other way around. So getting, you know, a leg up early can, and if they're smart with it, it can transition behaviors that carry the next 35 years.
Yeah. Okay, Justin, last set of questions here. So, and then we'll wrap this up because I think it all kind of comes back together. But just let's pivot over to some of the questions maybe financial advisors aren't really supposed to ask. Let's get into the uncomfortable questions. So, yeah, you're like, wait, great. Let's end it on that note. But what are some like financial goals do you think that people sacrifice too much of their life trying to achieve?
You're going to hate this answer.
Great. Let's lay it on me.
Sacrificing so much of lifestyle to save that they don't get to enjoy the lifestyle long enough.
Oh, I don't hate that because I see it so often.
Yeah.
That's probably the most common one, right? Mm-hmm. Is they never go take the vacation and then they get to retirement and they're all jazzed. And then it's like, well, you're terminally ill.
Yeah. I mean, there's... actuarial reasons when things happen. So you never know when your time is. And so that can really change things. Also is, I guess, would be sacrificing retirement for the legacy to pass on to the kids.
That was going to be mine. I think that's the biggest mistake people make is they're like, I got to do this for my kids. And then they stockpile things and it's like, well, my kids are going to love this. And then, you know, they lay it all out and they work extra hard. And then the kids are in the background like, I just wish you'd enjoy your life.
Right. And that's most common.
Oh, I really don't like
that. You know, the last check can bounce.
Yeah. It's like, no, just go play with the grandkids.
You're right.
You know, like I'd rather see you playing with the grandkids. I don't need your money. Okay. What's something that you think wealthy people should feel completely comfortable wasting money on?
What?
Well, that's an interesting question. I'm going with boats. Go waste your money on a boat. You're never going to have a frowny face on a boat unless it's raining and you forgot your rain jacket. So just get a good boat with a hard top.
I would say property, land.
oh, like stuff they don't use. I've seen that. I've actually seen that a couple times. People have this vacation house that they use three times a year, and then it sits vacant. That's an interesting one. Yeah, if you're going to own it, use it, right?
Yeah.
If someone dies at 85 with $5 million that they never spent, did they win?
I guess it would depend on who the beneficiaries of that money is.
Right. Well, you can't take it to the grave with you. Hey, Justin, we're out of time. I hear the music. Jeez. Okay, Little John Financial, 541-375-0898. Have a great rest of your day.